Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Beauty means different things to different people. However, in God's eyes, that which is holy is beautiful. And that is how God wants us to worship Him, in the beauty of holiness. Please open your Bible to Psalm 96, verse 6, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of a song that describes many different ways that our coming King will be praised.
And we are to bless the Lord by singing to Him. Bless the Lord by proclaiming Him. Bless the Lord by trusting in Him. He loves it when we trust Him against all odds. And boy, what a year we've had to have our faith developed, right? Has it been developed this year? How many of you prayed, Lord, I want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of You. I want to grow in faith. And then here comes COVID. Okay, how you doing? I want to grow in grace, Lord. I want to grow in faith and in the knowledge of You. You're the only one. We're trusting in You. And then there's the 2020 elections, and some people are freaking out. Well, what's going to happen? Well, nothing's going to happen to Jehovah. Right? This side almost agrees. This side... He's on the throne. Splendor, majesty, ruling, reigning. What a mighty God we serve. And we get to bless Him. Isn't that incredible? Little old me, little old you, we get to bless Him. You drive home tonight and you're singing. You know how that blesses the Lord? You know when my grandchildren sing? Oh my. It gets your heart pumping. When we sit around the table and they just read the scriptures, we'll read before the Sunday dinner, and it's beautiful when they mispronounce the words. Bless the Lord tonight. Bless the Lord. Ascribe to the Lord, verse 7, O families of the earth. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. The word ascribe there actually is better translated, give. What can we do? Give. The Lord says, give Him the glory that is due His name. Give Him the praise that is due His name. The courts of God's sanctuary were usually off limits to non-Jewish people. But here, they're looking to the time when the Messiah would come, when Jew and Gentile would be brought together, and now the whole earth is invited to come and worship His name. And one day we will do it in the millennium. We're going to have Bible studies in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus is going to be teaching Bible studies. I can guarantee that every preacher, when Yeshua starts teaching, we're going to sit way in the back. Because every congregant's going to say, we never heard a man speak like that before. Bring him an offering. What can you give to God? The Bible says he doesn't need lambs and sacrifices, but a broken and a contrite heart. That's what you can give Him. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, it's not going to be on the screen, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Offering ourselves up to God. Say, here I am, Lord. Tonight, I'm yours. I'm yours, Lord. That's the offering. There's a proverb that says, my son, give me your heart. So in one sense, God doesn't have your heart until you give it to Him. And that is the wisest decision any human being can make. God, take my heart. and fill it with the things that please you. Worship the Lord, verse 9, in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Actually, it means worship the Lord in the beauty or in the splendor of holiness. In Exodus chapter 28, the Jewish priests had to dress in required garments. And the beauty spoken of here that is to clothe us in worship is the beauty of holiness, which is both inward and outward. They are manifestations of the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to us. There's a beauty, there's a holiness now that you and I possess that is not of this world. Because of Christ's sacrifice, we've been made holy. We've been called holy. We've been separated, picked out by God, and we are to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Now, if you were to ask the man on the street, how would you define beauty? How many do you think would use the word holy? Probably not too many, right? Just try it. Now, go grocery shopping or Christmas shopping tomorrow, go say, hey, how would you define beauty? You probably get all kinds of answers. But very few people would define beauty as being holy. Holiness is beautiful in God's eyes. And the Bible says we are to be holy because our God is holy. And when it comes to worship, we all have different preferences, don't we? Different kinds of worship that maybe is what we can connect with. But let us never forget that worship isn't for us. It's not about us. Worship is to the Lord, and it's for the Lord, regardless of the genre. You see, true worship in the beauty of holiness stems from the recognition of the presence of the Lord and the inevitable conclusion that our God is perfectly holy. It really doesn't matter how many people are in those chairs, does it? Does it? Help me out here. Well, if there were more people, I'd worship. Who are you worshiping? The people that are in the chairs or the one who created the people? That's all. If the Lord was here, the I hate to say it, the only one, who else do you need? If He's not here, there's nothing to worship. There's no one to worship. But He's here. And we worship Him because He is holy in the beauty of holiness. Now, the Hebrew word for worship means to bow down. The Hebrew word here, it means to bow down. It's a place of submission. It's a place of worship. And we read in Philippians chapter 2, for this reason also, God highly exalted Him, that is Yeshua, and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. And that passage in Philippians 2 is found in Isaiah chapter 45, where there the context is Jehovah. Yeshua, our Christ, our Savior, is Jehovah incarnate. Jesus Christ is the perfect theology of God on earth. If you want to know what God is like, how God treats paupers and poor people and people that have afflictions and addictions and problems, look at Jesus Christ. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I have to admit that there's a few people that I hope that I get to see bow who despise Him so much. No, no. You're going to bow. Every... Well, I can't go there. It wouldn't be right. These people that are so puffed up and proud and doing the most despicable things on earth and blaspheming the name of Christ, they will bow. Say among the nation, the Lord reigns. He reigns tonight, saints. Four times In the Psalms, we find the phrase, the Lord reigns. He's reigning now. He's reigning in the hearts of those that belong to Him. And one day, He's going to rule and reign when He sits on David's throne, where He will rule over the nations. But in the book of Revelation, we read in chapter 19, verse 6, I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Thrilling! Exciting! This is where we're headed. People say, What's going on? I may not know what's going on now, but I can tell you what's going to happen soon and very soon. The Lord is going to come. And there's going to be this judgment upon a world that has rejected Him, but there is going to be the sound of many, many people declaring hallelujah or praise God, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Admittedly, in this fallen world, it doesn't seem like He reigns. In the court system, in the political system, it doesn't seem like that all the time, does it? But the Lord's coming, when He comes, that will mean the end of all injustice. Remember when Jesus was talking to the disciples about His second coming, He asked them the question, Lord, what will be the sign of Your coming? And at the end of the ages. And He says that when He comes, He's going to gather all the nations together for judgment. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. To those on the left, He's going to say, Depart from me, you worthless of iniquity and Gehenna that was prepared for the devil or Satan and his angels. He's going to judge the earth in righteousness. Every corrupt judge, every corrupt politician, every corrupt verdict that has taken place on earth. Some of you have been the recipients of some of those corrupt verdicts. Tyrants are going to fall. But Christ is going to come, and He's going to judge righteously. Though the courts of men may exhibit miscarriages of justice, at the court of God, He's going to judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. And He's going to judge the world through Jesus Christ. Now notice, when they talk about the Lord coming, when they talk about the Lord judging the people with equity or with fairness, it says, let the heavens be glad in verse 11. Let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar, and all it contains, let the field exult, and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. Trees singing? The seas roaring? The heavens glad? The earth rejoicing? The fields exalted? I don't know about you, but that sounds so remarkable. For He's coming. He's coming to judge the earth, and He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. Warren Wiersbe writes this, quote, Today, creation is in bondage to corruption and futility because of Adam's sin. But when the children of God are fully redeemed at Christ's return, creation will also be set free. No wonder the psalmist described the joy of heaven and earth, the seas and the dry land, and even the trees of the earth as they welcome their Creator, and then there will be justice on the earth. Christ coming again. Can you just imagine? All creation begins to worship Him. Not only you and I. Now, I don't know what a tree sounds like singing, but they're going to sing. I don't know what fields sound like exalting God, but we're going to be there. Remember that when Jesus made that triumphal entry and people were praising Him, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Pharisees, the religious people said, stop your people from saying it. He said, if they don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. I look forward to hearing rocks worship. I'd rather hear rocks than the Rolling Stones. There's going to be a day when worship is going to be praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Right now they declare His glory. But my, oh my, saints, we're going to be there. We're going to be a part of that. Again, Keller in his book on the Song of Psalms, on the Psalms said, quote, "At the creation, the morning stars sang together." Job tells us that. At the second coming of Christ, creation will at last join in again. Can you imagine what that's going to be? J. Oswald Sanders, in his book, The Incredible Christ or Incomparable Christ, says this: "The fact that Christ's second advent is mentioned 318 times in 210 chapters of the New Testament indicates the important place it fills in the temple of Christian faith. It is the most often repeated doctrine. And yet, how many times in this past year have you heard a Bible study on the second coming of Jesus Christ?" People want pastors to preach about causes, to preach about politics, to preach about vaccines, to preach about this. No way. No way. We have something more marvelous and glorious to talk about. Jesus is coming back again. When Paul went to Thessalonica, we know from the book of Acts, he was only there for 3 weeks, and then he had to get out of Thessalonica. And in 3 weeks, just read 1 and 2 Thessalonians, in 3 weeks, he taught these baby believers, fresh out of paganism, about the rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because it's critical. It's a critical doctrine. It's a doctrine of hope. Jesus Christ is coming again. He really is. In the prophecy concerning the Messiah, Luke chapter 1 says in verse 32, "He will be called great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end," no elections. Can you imagine? It's not like after 1,000 years, somebody's going to say, "I think we should have a new Messiah." He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. That's where we're headed, people. That's where you're headed. I underlined this in my notes. My Lord Jesus has promised me that He is coming again. And you know what? There's more prophecies of His second coming than there was of His first coming. Did He come the first time? You better say yes. Or tonight we're going to have an incredible altar call. He is coming again the second time. He said it more. Now, a chilling fact is that Jesus says when He returns, will He find saving faith on the earth? You see, because in the last days, there is also going to be a great apostasy, a great falling away. And I really believe that there has been, even in this year, a separation of the wheat and the tares, the believers from the make-believers. Because you can't fake faith in Christ during critical times. You can't fake it. Jesus is coming again. He's coming to reign over the earth. He's coming to judge righteously. And when He comes, you and I, you ready for this? You ready for this? It's in the Bible. I have a hard time comprehending it. But the Bible says you and I are going to judge angels. I don't know how that's going to happen. I hope that they have a class before it happens, or some kind of a seminar, how to judge angels. You know, the Bible just blows me away. After all these years ago, God, You just amaze me. You said it. You said, in Your patience, possess your soul. Just hang in there. Just hang in there. Just trust me. Christ's return is going to be literal. Just like He went up in Acts chapter 1. He's going to come back. And remember, the apostles in Acts chapter 1, they're looking up, and the angel comes down and says, why are you looking up? You've got work to do. Share the gospel. Now, there is a looking for him. There is that anticipation of his coming. There is that that passage that says about he's coming for those that love his appearing. He's going to come. His ascension was not a vision. It was an actual fact. It's going to be visible. The Bible says every eye will see him. It's going to be glorious. He's going to come in the glory of his Father. He's going to come in his own glory. He's going to come in the glory of the angels. His return is going to be sudden. It's going to be like lightning flashing. So you know what that means? The time to be right with God is when? Now. You blink? That's too long. And his return is going to be unexpected. Now we can know the times of the seasons. He's going to come as a thief in the night. And the advent of a thief is always unexpectedly. Have you ever... Well, I don't want to say... Nobody that has been robbed was ever told in advance. A text message. I don't even want to say any of your names. There's so-and-so. I've been watching your whereabouts. And I know that you're gone on Wednesday nights. And so I'm here to tell you that when you're teaching a Bible study, I'm going to rip you off blindly. Your favorite robber, Robert T. Thief. Now, here's the thing. The Bible says that the faithful servant, the evil servant says, oh, the Lord's delaying his coming. And they begin to get sidetracked with other things and other issues. The wise servant is thinking, maybe now. You probably have. Let me ask this and be honest. How many of you woke up today and thought, maybe today? See, we're all being honest. Maybe today. No, we're waiting for this recount. We're waiting for this vaccine. We're waiting for... we're waiting for Santa Claus. Some people are waiting for Santa Claus. Talk about deception. Santa Claus. Whenever I hear of Santa Claus, I always think of my boy Josh. When he was a little boy, my stepfather was Jewish. We had a Christmas party, and he always tried to butter up to us. And so we're over at their house, and there's the whole family's there. And so my stepfather says, "Okay, Joshy, come over here. Look at what Santa Claus got you for Christmas." And Josh, his typical Josh, he yells out. He goes, "Mom, Dad," he goes, "I can't believe it. Grandpa still believes in Santa Claus." He's coming. And that's our hope tonight. The Lord is coming again, beloved. That gives us hope. That gives us reason to face tonight and reason to face tomorrow with courage and with faith. Remember, beloved, that our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is not in medicine. Our hope is not in technology. Our hope is not in politics. There's a lot of things we know and many things we don't know about the future, but this much is certain. Jesus is coming again, and that coming may be sooner than we think. No wonder when John saw the revelation, he ended it, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his
holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Hey guys, unsure about what it means to be a man? God's Word tells us that men are leaders in their homes. Real men also pray, worship God, and study His Word. Most men also enjoy having a hearty breakfast and fellowship with other like-minded men of all ages. If this interests you, then we invite you to be a man and join us tomorrow morning between 5:30 and 7 at Koinonia Fellowship, located at 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.